Back in the golden era of Hollywood, one year flashed with a brilliance that earned it the title the greatest year in Hollywood history. It was 1939, the year that gave us The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Stagecoach, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Wuthering Heights, Dark Victory, and many more films that have long been lauded for their storytelling, technical achievements, and cultural impact. Many decades have passed since then. In this 80th anniversary year, is there anything left to celebrate? Have the works of brilliance outlived their glory? GLT Arts correspondent Laura Kennedy has more with Sherry Zack, GLT's culture maven.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
It's tempting to think there was something in the water in Hollywood in 1939. For so many now iconic films to make it to the screen. Dorothy sashayed down the yellow brick road and into our hearts and history, bringing with her what critics and film buffs consider many of the best films ever. So how did it happen? What was the alchemy that made 1939 so spectacular? Sherry Zack, interim dean of Milner Library and GLT's culture maven, says that that particular cinematic magic can in part be attributed to the now long-gone studio system.
What I think really makes 39 stand out, if we look across cinematic history, anybody who's seen a movie before 1997 is going to think of The Wizard of Oz, is going to think of Gone with the Wind as great examples of classic American cinema. So those two films in particular have stood the test of time. And I think that makes us look at 39 and go, oh yeah, Stagecoach, Transform the Western. It's that there are a couple of films that average person on the street has heard of, that has probably seen, has maybe seen and loved. So those two films in particular, I think, are carrying the year in some way.
So how is it that the motion picture studios at that time could create such great films, that, and a couple of which, and several of which, are standing the test of time? Is this basically the year that the industry really finally found its footing, and this was the year that it crystallized?
Nah, it had crystallized long before that.
Okay.
That's a good question, but it had crystallized long before that. I mean, technologically, things had crystallized earlier in the 30s. By 33, certainly, they had sound worked out. Certainly by 39, the studio system was well entrenched. What the studios did, particularly with Gone with the Wind, pulled out all the stops in making a truly grand, epic film. Likes of which we don't see for a while after that. Now, Wizard of Oz, it was not a cheap film. Those two films in particular stand out because they weren't just a star vehicle put with a property, ground out in a month, and set out into the world. They were really set up to be historically significant films in some ways. But there's also other stuff, right? So yes, the studio system is at its peak. There are incredible talents at work. John Ford making Stagecoach.
That was the breakout film for John Wayne.
The breakout film for John Wayne, in some ways the breakout film for John Ford, although he'd been quite successful as a director before that. The Westerns, until then, they were sort of B-grade fare.
Yeah, they churned them out to make money.
And if you went to a double feature, it would be not the primary feature, it would be the B one. The B feature. But with Stagecoach, it became an A feature.
Well, it looks like you've got another passenger.
I'll take the Winchester.
You may need me in this Winchester, Curly.
For good reason. It's a brilliant movie. When Orson Welles made Citizen Kane, he watched Stagecoach 100 times or something. So it's an excellent movie by just about all standards, unless you're looking at Native American politics, by which standard nearly every Western fails us miserably as humans.
Mm-hmm.
So there were quality directors working, actors who stood the test of time working. All of those things came together in this set of films in 1939 that have continued to entertain. The year before It Happened One Night was sort of the classic studio picture with a couple of stars and a fun script, and it did well. If you walked into a classroom now, you'd be hard-pressed to find an 18 to 20-year-old who's heard of It Happen One Night, right? That was just a year earlier. And at the time, that was considered the epitome of what the studios could offer. And then the next year, we have these true blockbusters that were blockbusters year after year after year. And it's that they have really pressed through the ensuing decades that makes us look back and go, wow, 39, quite a year.
By 1939, new directors and writers unions had been formed in Hollywood. Did that give them more clout in dealing with studios and creative freedom to let them create these movies in 1939?
I don't think it gave them significantly more clout. Not at that point, no. It was still the studio bosses. And because, by and large, pictures lived and died on their stars, as long as the acting talent was controlled by the studio, what got made and what didn't get made, and on what release schedule. Remember, this is still the era when there was a close connection between exhibition, distribution, and production. Those unions changed some production practices, but production practices were only part of the deal that made a film a hit.
So now it's 80 years later from Hollywood's best year in movies. Regarding the reputations of the films, do they stand up to history? Has history dimmed their luster in any way? I don't think you could ever dim the luster of The Wizard of Oz. I think you can
in this sense. I'm not sure if you took a 7-year-old to The Wizard of Oz, whether they would be as awestruck as I was at 7. Because by the age of 7 now, they have seen so much in the way of special effects, so much in the way of every fantasy possible being brought onto their iPhone or their iPad or their afternoon TV, that flying, falling asleep in some poppies. For those who have a little more maturity and can sort of, as we're watching, cut some slack for that and get back into a mindset of what it would be like to see this when Dorothy opens the door and there's this incredible colored world out there.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I don't think the technology carries the same weight for young people now, but for people a little bit older who already kind of watch a film like that with nostalgia, who already kind of watch a child's movie with this sort of sense of, I need to become a child to embrace the wonder of this thing, I think it does hold up. Those songs are great. So there are performances within that film that are transcendent. Certainly Over the Rainbow is one. But If I Only Had a Brain is just a marvelous, marvelous number. So I do think there are extraordinary things about that particular film that stand the test of time, but I think more for people who are slightly older rather than children.
Do you think they will get it eventually, or are these films just going to start to slide by the wayside because the technology isn't up to what they're accustomed to, that they're not going to feel the same way about it as we did when we were children?
I think that's going to happen, but I think it's going to take a while. I mean, right now there are a number of screenings of The Wizard of Oz that are getting some attendance nationwide, but they're mostly getting attended by older people who remember when it was on TV once a year, right? Mm-hmm. I think eventually they'll fade. I think to some degree, as much as I've been talking about Gone with the Wind standing the test of time, it's fading, right? It's,
okay.
People kind of know that that's a great film, but that doesn't mean they've ever seen it. And there are, if we could get back to some of the other films on the list, Ninotchka was a great movie.
Garbo laughs.
Right, but it does not stand up. It's a little hokey. People today sort of don't get what the whole Garbo allure was about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems sort of her accent's ridiculous and yada, yada, yada. So many of those films that for people like you and I who are kind of film buffs, they go, oh, wow, great one, great one, great one.
Yeah.
But most people today.
But it doesn't speak to people today.
Well, they don't get a chance in a way.
We're so politically focused and such. A film like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, what kind of impact does that have on this Twitter generation?
Well, they haven't seen it. They don't know what's so great about Jimmy Stewart. I mean, I don't think it would have much effect at all, really. I think that's actually a very good example of a film that when people who know movies beyond the last 20 years mention it, it stands out as a film that really says something about the American public, that says something about honesty and confrontation of power and all those kinds of things.
There's no place out there for graft or greed or lies or compromise with human liberties.
I don't think it really speaks to young people today. Even if they got a chance to see it, I don't think it would really speak to them.
So 1939 might be considered the best year in Hollywood movies, but 80 years from today, it will be probably a moot point, you think?
It will be moot, except for folks like us who are interested in history. It's already moot, except for people who are interested in the history of film. I wasn't going to get depressing today. I really wasn't. But there is such a low tolerance for different styles of acting, for special effects that
aren't so special.
All right. The demands of audiences, really sort of since the 90s, is such that it already kind of takes a special person to be looking back to see anything made before Star Wars as being great. Great actors, great directors, great material. We can look at 38 and find another 12 great films. We could look at 40 and find another 12 great films. But in 1939, some of the greatest became films that had a much longer life than just that year or a couple years after. That's what really makes the difference.
That's Sherry Zeck, interim dean of Milner Library at Illinois State University, and GLT's culture maven. And just in time for the 80th anniversary of Hollywood's greatest year, The Wizard of Oz will be running at the historic Normal Theater in Uptown Normal this Thursday through Sunday. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Sherry Zeck thinks film fans of today will look back fondly on the movies of their own era rather than classic films. She points to the raucous comedy Bridesmaids as being a likely contender for future sentimental favorite of today's filmgoers, rather than The Wizard of Oz.